Today's sermon title sounds suspiciously biblical, and I hope I didn't frighten anybody with it. But both the words fall and grace have an awful lot of meanings and an awful lot of possibilities, and I want to talk about some of them. But you might note that the sermon title says, Fall to Grace. Because I want to turn it around from the regular understanding that people have. In the Garden of Eden, in the Jewish tradition, there is the fall. That is, Adam and Eve get evicted from the garden because they broke the lease and the covenant and the restrictions that said, do anything that you like, just don't eat the fruit. And then God was kind of annoyed with them because apparently God didn't understand that fruit was a highly nutritional, good thing to do, but God wanted them to eat meat. So you think I'm kidding? Read the rest of Genesis. That's why you have the whole fight between Cain and Abel, but that's not what I'm talking about today. God is the carnivore. In the Christian tradition, Adam and Eve and all mankind get evicted from Eden, and these are considered falls from a state of grace, from a state of relationship with God, with nature, with themselves, from being whole into that fragmented, broken, real world that all of us live in. Falls seem to be terrible things. The other fall story, of course, is that of Lucifer, who is the prettiest, handsomest, and most beloved of the angels, and he falls from heaven into the outer darkness because of his arrogance. Are there any things in these stories that could conceivably speak to Unitarian Universalists within our tradition? And I think that there are, because falling is something that everybody does. Falling is something that as I watch my grandchildren and they remind me of my children and they are learning, I watch them fall. I watch them trip. I watch them trying to explore and find the limits of their balance, the speeds at which they can go. I watch them build little structures out of cards, out of blocks, out of Legos, up to a tipping point where they learn about gravity. And I learn about cleaning up. They have not learned that part yet. Falling is something that everybody does, and not just Rose on her crash landing over there in the pew. All of us at some point in our lives trip. Fall, overextend, don't pay attention, make bad choices, and fall off of our pedestals, off of our jobs, out of our marriages. We all make mistakes. Jesse Jackson had a wonderful line. He said, "You may not be responsible for being down, but you are responsible for getting up." Well, you might not be responsible for being down. You may have tripped over something that was in the road. Or you might be responsible for being down. And you're still responsible for getting up. Because that's part of the human condition. It is not, will we fall or are we in some theologically fallen state? It is when we slip. When we fall, when we are bruised, when we are hurt, what will we do then? And falling offers opportunities to find grace. We can fall not from grace, it may only seem like grace, but to grace, to find gracefulness and graciousness in our condition and see that we have opportunities to learn, to grow, to heal, to help. During the late 50s and 60s, when our space program was not doing so well when the Vanguard project often fired rockets who had kind of less elevation between themselves and the Earth than Shaq going up for a rebound. That's for the guys here. The people in the Space Administration said there are no failed experiments as long as we learn from them. And I think that's the critical issue. There are, of course, falls that are final and that are tragic and that are irredeemable to the person who falls. But most of the time when we fail, when we stretch, when we err, when we fall short of our goals that are for our families, for ourselves, we have opportunities to learn something and to grow from those experiences. I know that for me personally, my greatest growth, my greatest experiences and opportunities to become a better person, they have all come from my failures. Now, you know, I don't want to get into every failure and every fall is some kind of blessing in disguise, because they're not. Sometimes they're just misery and tragedy, completely undisguised. And sometimes there are consequences to others that even when we get the lesson, there are still terrible prices that have to be paid, but they don't have to be final prices. Everybody lives with some sense of failure, some sense of rejection. I remember some of my favorite failures. I'll give you my favorite ones and my least favorite ones. One of my favorite failures was I was working a comedy club. At least they thought I was working a comedy club. I was doing four shows a night. A, B, A, B. I did A. It went great. I did B. It went terribly. I stood there for 20 minutes, and I just saw paintings of faces that were glazed over with what is he talking about? Not unlike a couple of you at the moment. Were you there? New Balladeer, it was 1961, West Los Angeles. Anyway, it was to get back on stage was not the act of a particularly sane person, but it was the act of someone who said, okay, here's the learning. The learning is it's not the audience. They weren't dumb. They didn't miss it. I missed it. I learned one of the most valuable lessons of my life because I had seen singers and comics turn on audiences that weren't responsive and blame them. My piece of invaluable learning was that it's my job to communicate. It is not the audience's or the congregation's failure. If they think that I've given them nothing, I have given them nothing. I may not want to hear it later today, by the way. But that was a very valuable experience to me. My other kinds of failures, well, as a writer. I mean, if you're a writer or you're an actor, you get used to an awful lot of rejection. When I started writing columns, I sold probably one column for every 50 I wrote. I now sell 3 for every 4 that I write. But it wasn't that the editors got smarter. It was that I learned from not being very good how to be better. And it was my responsibility not to turn into a sense of, oh, those fools, I'm way ahead of my time. Why don't they understand me? No genius is understood in his own time. Think of Mozart. Yeah, right. I'll think of Mozart. And it won't help me carry a tune. But being rejected, I had an opportunity to turn towards bitterness or to turn towards learning and improvement. My failure as a husband in my first marriage gave me an opportunity to learn nothing or to learn how to be a better person, a better man, a better husband. my hiatus from the ministry, gave me an opportunity to examine myself and think about who I am, what I am, what kind of learning I can get, and to what I am committed, and the best use of my gifts, my tools, my interests, my life. There are opportunities in failure that a constant diet of success, while plenty pleasant, can put us into automatic pilot, or worse, into a sense of invulnerability and of arrogance. And there is no grace in arrogance. There is no grace without graciousness that is put back into the world. These are important parts of all of our lives. Institutionally, I have been involved in churches that have had crises that have led to healing and to growth. I remember in my first church, my checks were always late. This is not a hint. My checks are on time here. My checks were always late, and sometimes even without sufficient funds in them. And all we really had to do was pay the minister, not pay the light bill, because the first time the congregation came in and the lights were out, boy, those pledges really kept up much better after that. And if it had been a New England church, it would have been the heating bill. I have seen this happen in other churches. I remember coming back from a vacation and having the president of this congregation say, "Oh, we're $1,500 in the hole. We can't oh, it's a tragedy." I'm sorry? Average income of Unitarian Universalists? Add it all together. If you're going to close your doors over $1,500, you're not giving anybody anything worthwhile. We have the ability in our numbers and with our income to make our dreams come true if we are personally, emotionally invested in them. And all the congregation had to do from this crisis, this danger, this opportunity was to ask itself, what's important? Is this really a number that's going to bother us? The answer was no, and we took off in a growth spurt that came from that crisis, that came from evaluating who we are individually, communally, what's important to us. Where is it that our energy, our passion, our time, our money should be invested? Where is it that our lives have the greatest positive consequences from person to person and out into the world? Socrates said, "Know thyself." I think everything begins with an examination of who we are. But I think that we find out who we are individually as well as institutionally and nationally when something interrupts the flow of our everyday automatic pilot lives. When there is something that we trip over, whether it's a health issue, a personal issue, a job issue, a political issue, sometime that we say, "Whoa, I'm a little hurt. I'm a little disoriented. I don't really know where to go from here. Maybe I should look inside, and maybe I should look into your eyes to see what is coming back to me so that we can help each other." I'm not at all against falling. My old mentor in the ministry once asked me, he said, "You know, John, are your sermons all pretty good?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, then you're mediocre." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he replied, he said, "If you're consistent, you're mediocre. The only way you can achieve excellence is when you stretch. And that has to offer you the opportunity of missing, of falling, of failing. And You have to balance whether those are the risks that you are willing to take in order to have not the guarantee, but the chance of excellence. I think it's very important that we, as individuals as well as communities, understand that we inevitably fall, we inevitably fail, we don't inevitably learn, but we can. And that we should not fear so much the failure as the lack of learning, and should take every opportunity we can to learn from our triumphs. Yes, they're nice, they're pleasant, they're good. Enjoy them much more than I enjoy my failures, but I also treasure my failures along with my doubts, because they offer such great opportunities to renew ourselves, to renew our commitment to the things that are most important inside of our souls. We may not be responsible for being down, or we may be responsible for being down, but we are surely responsible for whether we learn, whether we reach out with our vulnerability and let others help us, and reach down to others to help them in their moments of falling and of failing. So in doing so, in reaching up and reaching down, going inside ourselves and outside ourselves, we experience, create, and share our falling to a state of grace.